B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
The ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Kiss my ass twice.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Sold. Tonight, the Patriots have a new owner. The New England Patriots are staying right here in Massachusetts.
Some people think it's pretty silly to spend so much money just for a game. My objective in doing this is to help bring a championship to New England.
Due to the various uncertainties surrounding my position as it relates to the team's new ownership, I've decided to resign as the head coach of the New York Jets.
Tom Brady at pick 198 goes to the New England Patriots.
48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
You like it, right? Right, right.
Got the snap to Brady. Drops back. Looks to the back of the end zone for Dorsett. Touchdown, Patriots!
The Patriots have now agreed to terms with the Browns to trade for Josh Gordon.
Gordon on the outside of Hogan. Brady takes the snap. Fires to the right. Pass caught by Gordon. That's under a defender, and he's tackled at the 3. Tied at 40. Allen right knee down. The snap in play. Swing the right leg. Kick left into the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And the Patriots prevail. May very well meet again. Takes the snap. Dropping back. Feeling pressure. Loads up and throws a long ball left for Robinson behind the defense. It's knocked by Jackson.
Yes.
And intercepted by Harmon in the end zone. What a terrific recovery by the rookie J.C. Jackson and the reaction by Daron Harmon.
Josh Gordon just tweeted out this statement. Quote, I will be stepping away from the football field for a bit to focus on my mental health.
Dorsett motions into the basket. Brady takes the snap of the play. Fake to White. Firing down the middle. Edelman makes the catch on the run to the 20. And twisted down at the 15. But he rolled over a defender. Stay on his feet. Sprint into the end zone with a dive. Touchdown. Patriots.
Ironman.
Takes the snap. He drops to the knee. And the New England Patriots have won their 500th game as a franchise. They're bound for the divisional round of the AFC playoff tournament.
The Chargers are the better team. So I got this game 30-27, Chargers win.
Phillip Rivers did exactly what I thought he would do, put the team on his back when it mattered. They're the more balanced team. This is my Super Bowl pick.
Hogwash.
Let's go! Let's go!
Give to Michelle, runs up the middle, turning forward, into the end zone! Michelle runs it right to the 10, angling right to the 5, to the pylon, diving, touchdown! Back in the pocket, throws a lot, Dorsett's wide open, touchdown Patriots, in the left corner of the end zone!
Have they stopped him yet?
I know, everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
There's going to be hell to pay for the Boston Patriots coming in here from Old England.
Give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. New England strikes first.
That's the way you open up an AFC title game on the road.
He's tripped up and he's dropped back at the 37-yard line.
No field goal.
Trey Flowers in pursuit. Touchdown, Patriots.
What did I just tell you?
Throws it right underneath off the hands of Gronkowski. Intercepted. It's picked off and then the ball comes loose from Tre'Varius Ward. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. There's Cleet Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my.
Offside. Keep it.
Wow.
Said I was round of offside. Was I?
And Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win. Touchdown, Patriots. And they're bound for Super Bowl 53.
Welcome to the Super Bowl! Welcome to the Super Bowl!
Pretty cool.
paper, boy. Always about that paper, boy. If you ain't on your grind, then you flexing, you's a hater, boy. Paper, boy, paper, boy. Always getting paper, boy. If you ain't making money, then you ain't a money maker, boy. Paper clip, paper clip.
Good morning, everybody. Here at the Toucher and Rich radio program.
It's always good when before 7 o'clock, get a little paper, boy, paper, boy. You guys watch Atlanta? This is the fake rapper who's on it, and it's the show's, and his name is Paperboy.
Okay,
because he's all about that Paperboy.
Okay. Way to start things off with an inside joke to yourself. Hey, good morning, everybody. We are here on Radio Row in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, and we are brought to you by, I don't know what this message is for me, AdCare 1-800-ALCOHOL is how we're starting things off today, and it is Rich, an exciting scene. We have a big, we are right by the NBC sports people. We have a big area.
We are not slumming it this year.
No.
With all the little wannabe radio stations. We are actually, this is unbelievable. So if you look around, well, first of all, nobody's on the air right now. It's like us, and it's a giant room. And on the left side and on the right side are just this massive sea of tables. It's like a Buffalo Bill fan's tailgater's dream. I mean, just you could smash through all of them. It's just a sea of these tables. And those are all each one's got a little radio station name on each one. No one's at any of them right now that I can see. However, in the middle, where, like, you know, the classiest of all the sports broadcasters hang out, that is where we are, right in the center, and we are directly across from the NFL Network. To our right, Pro Football Talk is right next to
and
us.
There's so many topless chicks throwing their bras at Florio.
But you should see some of the stages that these places have here. Like,
well, the 92.9, the game.
Oh, the house that Rick Kamla built.
We have to have Kamla on the show.
Oh, without a doubt. As a matter of fact, I went walking around trying to find where a lot of these guys are. Rick Kamla, of course, the one who had that amazing in-your-face Boston song, I'm Shipping You Back to Boston,
yes,
which was something straight out of Michael Scott in The Office. His station, which is like the Atlanta Sports Talk one, they have like a massive setup at the very end, like all on their own.
They got the Jim Rome riser above all of us.
Can you imagine being like, you know, someone like, let's say you're like Jerome Bettis or whatever, and you come walking in, and they're, you know, someone's showing you around, and by the look of the stage, you think, all right, well, this is probably a pretty good, obviously a reputable company, probably good radio shows, and I'll talk to them, and then you sit down, and it's
hey,
like,
hey, what's up with the bus? How you doing, bus?
You got Rick Kamla puking all over you. I mean, which is kind of fun, because it's almost like an elaborate prank. It's like an episode of Punk'd. Just sitting right across from you, knowing that you're going to have to sit across and talk to that guy.
Well, yesterday, Walla came in before us, and our flight, it was fine, but we were, like, stuck on the tarmac.
Oh, hang on. Real quick, before you go to that.
Yeah.
You missed something before we all got on the plane.
Oh, I did?
Oh, yeah. So our flight had you, me, Felger, Maz, Hardy, Jim Louth, and a couple other people from the station. So we were waiting for boarding, and I think, Fred, you were in the restroom or something at the time. And all of a sudden, the pilot comes walking out to where everyone's sitting and waiting. And he goes, hi, guys, just want to let you know I'm the pilot for your flight today. And he's, like, holding court in the middle of where everyone sits. I'm your pod. Just want to let you guys know that I'm glad that you guys are with us. This flight, I just want to let you know, is going to be pretty bumpy. It's going to be a pretty bumpy flight. And I don't mean to scare any of you guys, but we're going to be going up and down and up and down. And it might make some of you guys a little sick. So I just want you guys to prepare for this. And I want you to know that if you have any questions or concerns before you get on this flight, just come and talk to me. I'll be standing up here at the thing, and I just want to make sure you guys are all aware of what's coming your way. Thanks a bunch, and walks away.
Oh, God.
I've never seen.
Whoa.
Have you ever heard of that ever happening in your life?
No, that should be illegal. I mean, that should be illegal.
Never.
What question could I ask? Like, you're in the sky.
Maz and I looked at each other like, we're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, why are we getting this last rites type of warning before we get on the plane? And Hardy just is like, he turns white, and we're like, I don't know what just happened. So that was a nice little unsettling feeling before we all got on the plane, which I have no, here's what I think happened. I think that he recognized that there were like a decent amount of media people that were going on there and was trying to be Mr. Mover Shaker, headline maker, like representative. Hey, and there's nothing I hate worse than like jokey pilot guy.
But that's not jokey. Like, if you have any questions, ask me. What do you know?
Dude,
like,
it was weird.
Do you? What do you? God? how would you possibly know what's going to happen?
It was everyone in the.
It wasn't even bumpy.
Everyone in the waiting area just kind of looked at each other like, did everyone just see the same thing we just saw? And is everyone cool with this?
I don't know. Felger and Rich were in the high class.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the big seats.
You were in the back.
Up front.
You were in the back.
I was in the back with the people.
I see.
I was in the back with the hard man.
Okay, so we get – okay, so please finish the story. I didn't mean to cut you up, but that was just the weirdest thing I've
but
seen.
I'll stick on this. So the pilot – and the pilot waited by the gate?
So he stood right next to where people check in.
Yeah, how about you go and check the instruments?
Yeah.
How about you go, like, inside and
shut up and make sure the flight's all right.
Dude, yeah. I don't know.
What question could you possibly have?
I have no interest in talking to the pilot.
Like, give him a breathalyzer?
If I'm talking to the pilot, there's a problem.
Was he handing out wings?
Unless this is some, like, brand new thing that the company is trying to do to make you put a face to the company. But
no.
But that was unsettling. Like, that was.
Of course it's unsettling.
Not the way you want to start
before
a flight.
Before you get on the plane.
And imagine, and me, I'm cool with flying. I fall asleep when we take off, and I'm usually good. But what if you're one of those guys that has to, like, medicate yourself, or you're already kind of freaked out by the whole, and then that happens? Dude, I'd lose it.
No, it's really good. Fred wasn't there for that. I haven't.
No. It's great. Fred wasn't there for that.
I think if Fred was there for that, it would have been a major problem.
I would have gone ballistic.
Well, when we do the crossover, ask Hardy. Because I think Hardy might have been the most spooked of anyone.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's got a thing about flying, but, I mean, we had a moment there where everyone
looked. It doesn't matter if you have a thing about
first
flying.
First of all, flying is not natural. You're in a tube in the sky.
No, without a doubt.
Human beings, genetically in evolution, our body screams that this is not right. We do not have the ability to fly.
Yeah.
So when you were that high in the sky in a tube, there is a certain, no matter how calm you are, there is a certain predisposition to wonder what's going on. If you were to put a caveman onto a flight, and he would freak out.
Sure.
So this is part of, you know, you can overcome that.
Yeah.
But that is the way that it goes. So, of course, if something unprecedented happened before the flight, you're going to think to yourself, all right, well, and by the way, so it's going to be bumpy? So why did you just – so you just told me the flight's going to suck.
Yep.
Just straight out the bat, the flight's going to suck.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what could have happened? First of all, the flight wasn't particularly bumpy.
I mean, not any more than a usual flight. I mean, we hit a little bit of turbulence, but that happens on flights, you know?
And so...
Dude, I don't know.
Why don't you get on the speaker and go, hey, we're about to hit some rough air.
I'm telling,
like a normal pilot would do in the first place.
I'm telling you, he seemed like a guy who, like, looked around and recognized a few people. Because there were also other people from, like, the local, like, TV stations and stuff that were there. And I think he was just like, all right, time to make a name. And went, and I don't know if that's a thing that the company does, but I've never seen it before. And it was
I can assure you it's not something that the company does.
Yeah, so that was a great way to start the flight.
That's why I don't get on the flight until the end.
Last second.
I check
I'm
my
ready.
Bag,
yeah.
And I don't get out of there until the end. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, a buttload of people went and said goodbye to the Patriots yesterday at Gillette Stadium.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It's mind-boggling that we live in this world. All right, we'll be right back.
Roger and Rich are live on Radio Row on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
I don't know what happened last night, but I know what happened about 3 minutes ago, and that's doo-doo. That's Fred Toucher doo-doo.
Oh, here we go.
You have to understand.
Freddy ball game.
If you use the restroom, it's like a mile away.
No, he went the opposite direction. Bathroom's the other way.
Maybe there's like a special hidden bathroom.
Maybe
that's over there.
Just for mover, shaker, headline.
It's the one
makers.
With the tape on it, Fred.
That one
right there. We marked it with tape. There you go.
And we're off.
Time moves quickly. By the way, you can watch us on Twitch. You go to twitch.tv.
Right.
search the sports hub and you could see our glorious faces with like a sea of empty tables behind us.
This is just not the same, though, because every morning Nick Jamelli comes in and fiddles with the camera, and it's not the same morning unless I see Nick's furrowed brow where he stares questioningly at the Twitch lens.
You should see how easy his job is and how difficult it seems. All right, so apparently our pilot before the flight yesterday got on the microphone and started talking about how much the flight was going to suck. Luckily, I was not in the boarding area at the time. Matt, go ahead. Oh, I hung up on him.
Oh, geez. Press on air, maybe? Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, so I was down looking at colleges in Florida with my daughter, and I was flying back yesterday, and the pilot actually got on the plane and said, listen, there's no altitude at all. We can fly today. That is not going to be, the plane's not going to be all over the place. And set back and strap in and keep your seatbelt on for 3 hours because we're not even going to take the carts out for drinks or nothing. And so
oh, yeah. Well, I've had that happen. I've had that happen before. But and he said that they were going to be flying at a low altitude. I mean, I heard him say that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as I said, it was just a very, very odd moment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, last night, hey, look, a billion people showed up to say bye to the Patriots. Clip.
Roll the clip.
Yes.
Well, I've been so blessed, obviously, being here for as long as I have, and to play with so many great teammates and coaches, to represent this team and organization, and obviously to represent you guys is what it's all about. So I can't thank you enough. We're excited. I hope you guys are excited. And as Dez said, let's let them hear it all the way down in Atlanta. We're still here. We're still here. We're still here. We're still here. We're still here.
All right. Oh, yeah.
All the boys!
And with that, Tom Brady threw the mic to our own Scott Zolak, and Scotty Z blows the play, drops it at the one.
None of these chants seem to work out.
No.
None of these chants really seem to.
Ever since No Days Off, they've been cursed with chants that don't work.
Yeah.
No Days Off!
That's the one of all of them.
Well, that was the dumbest thing in the world.
Because everyone had taken a day off.
No, but beyond that, like, who wants to, like, yeah, I want a lot of days off. Yeah. Like, my union
Let's
has
go Red Sox.
Negotiated.
Well, that's the all-time worst, but at least that's a tried and true cheer. It was just delivered poorly.
I had assumed that there would be about 100 people at that thing yesterday.
Well, listen, as jaded as we could all be at, like, the Patriots heading to their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years, whatever, yesterday's Super Bowl rally at Gillette Stadium was unreal. Yeah. 35,000 people.
35,000 people to look at dots on a stage.
No, it was to watch Patriots players, owners, coaches, Zolak, Sosie, about 30 minutes too much of Fitzy, and guys who weren't named Jermaine Wiggins.
Fitzy? What happened to Wiggy?
I think that they saw his performance last year with the Hate Us Because They're Jill of Us, and they said, nah, let's bring Fitzy up here.
I cannot, but, like, I was in the car, you know, yesterday driving around, and they said, the door's open at 8 o'clock, and I went, oh, that's cute. Like, who's going to go to this thing?
Oh, my God.
Everyone.
And by the way, not to knock Fitzy, because he had a tough job. He had to fill, like, 30 minutes with nothing.
Yeah. Fitzy from the...
Yeah. So like, you know, the GFY Fitzy. It was him and one of the guys from the Hall of Fame, the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Brian, right?
And they had to fill so much time. But, I mean, I will say this. Moving it to Sunday as opposed to Monday in years past was a brilliant move, as the entire field and half of the lower bowl completely filled as they watched the Blue Man Group and a man dressed as Prince Valiant read a scroll proclaiming that Bud Light was indeed refreshing dilly-dilly. That was strange. But then it was time for the true Super Bowl superstars to take the stage. Take it away, Captain Charisma. Clip.
Thank you. Thanks so much for coming out today. This is an awesome crowd. It's just tremendous. This is the biggest send-off we've ever had, and we really appreciate everybody coming out. Appreciate your support all year, and we hope to see you in Atlanta.
And there was much rejoicing. But when you truly knew it was time to party, that's when the captains took the stage, and Matt Slater dropped some science on the people.
Yes,
clip.
Indeed.
Where's my man Matthew Slater? Bring him out here. Final attack. All right. Super Bowl number 5 for this guy.
What's it feel like to play against the Rams? And we all know what Jackie Slater is, that Hall of Famer father you have. Talk about the experience going against the Rams, of course, your dad's former team, at Super Bowl number 5.
Man, first of all, Pass Nation, let me hear y'all again. Yeah. Hey, we just wanted to say thank you guys for your support all year long. You're a big part of who we are, and it's such an honor to represent the New England region. 5th Super Bowl, man, what a blessing. What a great organization we have. Great team, great coaches, great brotherhood, and it's really just a blessing to be a part of this. But come Sunday, I grew up a Rams fan, but come Sunday, I don't know nothing about no Rams. So let's go Pats.
Did you see the promo picture that they released of Matt Slater for the Super Bowl? How great is this?
He's like, yeah. All right, so Matt Slater
has like
on,
they're playing it up now.
He has on, like, glasses, and he's putting them down a little bit. He's like, oh, look at that Bunsen burner.
It's like Revenge of the Nerds glasses. And
it's like if he had shades, but he doesn't have
He doesn't have shades. Right, yeah. He's lowering his glasses, but it's not shades. It's right. Like Revenge. All it's missing is the tape in the middle, and he's got the Super Bowl jersey. Like, hey there, Excelsior.
He just saw, like, someone put together the Millennium Falcon, and he was like, whoa.
I had people tweeting me all weekend with, like, captions of that. By golly, I'd study the Pythagorean theorem as much as I have, and I should have the best angle to the kick returner.
Matthew Slater. Later, I'm on the field. I play the game.
Well, as I was driving in from the airport, I was listening to the sports talk radio station here. It was the house that Rick Campbell built. And David Andrews seems to have peed on the Atlanta Falcons fan anthill, and they were very outraged by what he said here. Clip.
Yeah, you know, it's unreal getting the chance to go home, play in front of a lot of my friends and family. Can't wait to see all y'all down there take over Atlanta. Show them what a real fan base is down there. So appreciate all y'all's support. You know, it wouldn't be the same if we didn't have y'all backing us each week, so we appreciate it.
They did not like that on 92.9 The Game. Yeah, we're great fans. How dare you? Our fans are the best. Yeah, let's write a song about it. Well, all being told, 35,000...
New England rules, New England sucks.
And only telling the truth. Hey, what nice idea, the way you traded away, Babe Ruth. That is the all-time most cringe-inducing clip. Well,
How dare you talk about our fan base?
Well, 35...
That's what I like.
Yeah, we like the fans. 35,000 people just getting a glimpse of Patriots players saying hello is amazing. And it's 10 times funnier when you see it juxtaposed against the Rams going away celebration, which was held in a construction site. Yes, a construction site where the new Rams stadium is going to be built in front of just over 2,000 wandering fans.
Hey, now. You're telling me that Los Angeles is way cooler than
many who looked like they were offered a free sandwich just to fill the space. Get the troops fired up, Jared Goff. Clip.
Man, thank you all. This is amazing. We appreciate all the support. Since I've been here for 3 years now, seeing it grow to this, seeing us going from that year 3 years ago, 4-12, going to the Super Bowl now, it's amazing. We appreciate all your support, and we're ready to bring a Lombardi back to L.A. Thank you all.
General, I will follow you into hell.
Yay! So you're telling me that the people of Los Angeles actually have things to do.
You couldn't
get 35,000 idiots into a stadium.
There were pictures that originally came out of that Rams rally, and I was like, okay, well, this is someone just trying to be funny. And then they showed it on ESPN last night, like over a shot. And it looks like, okay, if like Eve 6 put on a surprise concert, like in the middle of like Boston Common, this is how many people would show
you'd
up.
You have to at least have Fastball in that.
If Fastball was opening for the Verve Pipe, this is how many people would have shown up. Opening for Vertical. Well, if Vertical Horizon was there, you might get at least like 20 or 30 more.
First band I ever interviewed.
Oh, Vertical Horizon?
Oh, yeah. Right across the street from here.
Yep.
I will tell you this, though. L.A. just seems a lot cooler now.
Oh, it was great. Well, we will. Right after John Wallach's headlines, there was a small bit of legitimate news broken yesterday regarding Tom Brady. On top of that, a whole lot of people running their mouths about the retirement chances of certain players on the Patriots. We will get to that. Yeah. as well as so much more.
Yeah, stop running your mouths. All right, we will return. Here are the headlines.
Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
I'm going to say we want. You say six. We want. We want. Louder. We want. We want. There you go. I'm so fired up.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. There is Scott Zolak, who couldn't catch the microphone from Tom Brady.
I guess that he tweeted yesterday that Brady told him, next time, catch the damn microphone.
Those two in their rapportee.
Well, speaking of Mr. Tom Brady, there was a small bit of legitimate news that was broken when Tom Brady sat down with Jeff Darlington of ESPN. When he asked Brady what the chances are that this would be his last game he ever plays in the NFL, he said this clip.
Talk quickly about mortality, age. You have the chance to do something that nobody has ever done at 41 years old. Is there any chance that this is your last game? Zero.
Zero.
Say it. I don't want to just say
there's
it.
Zero. Yeah, okay. There's zero. I've said that for a long time. I feel like I'm asked that a lot, and I feel like I repeat the same answer, but no one wants to believe me.
I feel
but...
like one of the coaches in the AFC East, like, trying to tell you, are you sure this is not the right thing?
I know. I know. I just, you know, I've set a goal for myself at 45, and like I said before, it's very hard to make it that far. I know how hard it was this year, you know, and the commitment it takes, and hopefully I've learned from some of the things that happened this year to be better next year, but every year is tough.
You know, I was actually thinking about that the other day. So Tom Brady right now, like, he seems healthy. He all of a sudden once again is playing like he has been at a high level. So why do so many people want to see him retire?
Well, no, because the reason he's asked about it all the time is because he won't shut up about it. Is that his whole business is talking about how tough it is and how hard it is. I mean, he released a documentary about himself.
But he has said since then that he's going to play until he's 45.
Right. But then, but if your constant dialogue in almost everything you say outside of press conferences revolves around how you're the superhuman and you're getting ready and the amount of work it takes, then of course you're going to ask these questions.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was that mistake that he made. Remember when he put out a teaser for the last segment of his Tom versus Tom after they lost the Super Bowl. And the little teaser thing had this kind of ominous tone that he was going to call it quits and that, you
know, it's getting harder and harder to spend time away from his family.
And so you got a full like day or 2 days of the news cycle going, oh, he's going to retire. So he did bring
that
upon
himself. Go to OTAs. I mean, he did a bunch of stuff.
Which, by the way, you can't. Like, now you can't question that.
I don't care if you went to OTAs or not. I'm just telling you why that question's asked.
Yeah.
Well,
because the questions. I mean, yeah, he sent out a lot of smoke
signals. Has he talked at any length about, outside of a standard interview, has he ever not talked for any length? What am I trying to say?
I don't know.
My point is, he always talks about it, and every time that it's not a structured interview, he talks about it.
Although the last times he's talked about it since that stupid teaser, which we all agree was dumb, and he did that just to get people talking. He has said, I'm playing until I'm 45.
Yes.
And he's been consistent
with
that.
That has been, yes. And 45 has always been the number.
Yeah. And then when the Patriots draft a quarterback in the first round this year,
he's going to get pissed. I mean,
he'll
play better. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he'll get that Jimmy Garoppolo fire under his ass, and he'll play good for an entire season instead of waiting to the last 5 weeks. However, one guy who I think it's completely warranted to be concerned about when discussing retirement is Rob Gronkowski. No one but Rob truly knows if this will be it for him after Saturday night, or Sunday night rather. But his brother, Chris, was asked if he had any inside info on the situation. Here is Chris, clip.
Man, I'm still shocked, especially when former players that are now reporters are saying that, because if you actually watch him play throughout the year, he was crushing people all year. I was posting blocks to him, just pancaking guys. And so his performance never went down. It was just his stats. And what ends up happening is, fantasy football, everyone playing, everyone wants to see the stats. And because they weren't there, all of a sudden, everyone now consider him a bust for this year and a shell of himself and all that. But really, if you watch the game, you watch what he's doing out there, he was crushing people all year long. And finally, when fantasy football ended, all of a sudden, they started highlighting how well he was actually playing and blocking. Now they're coming out saying, he's the most unselfish player on the team, which, I mean, he's out there doing whatever he has to do to get the job done. And I mean, they're one of the best rushing teams in the game because they're running behind him. The O-line's great. The running back's great. I mean, everyone's great, but his blocking, I mean, it's unreal what he's doing out there.
By the way, Chris Gronkowski is putting up videos of his brother blocking. There's something.
Is that what he said?
I thought it was a TMZ interview where they were looking at him. I don't think it was. Yeah. Right, here's a video of how awesome my brother is.
No, he says in that he's posted clips of his brother blocking. Oh,
that I did not see.
And by the way, we're going to have Chris Gronkowski, I think, on the show this week.
Oh, good.
Don't promise that.
I'm just saying that because. Well, so I'm not speaking out of school when I say this. It's not like we didn't see him laboring through half the season. I mean, the guy is, and also on top of that, he's the one who had the retirement talk out there at the end of last season with I'm going to do movies, and he was all hesitant about whether he was going to make a commitment or not. So that's the reason that all that talk is out there.
So Chris Gronkowski is trying to say, unless I'm reading this wrong, that he's doing what he has to do. So it sounds to me like he's saying, you know, the Patriots want him to block. That's what it sounded like, you know, doing what he has to do. You're telling me that one of the best receiving tight ends ever to play football, is being left in the block on purpose, taking him out of pass patterns for the best quarterback to ever play.
I'm just still fascinated that Chris Gronkowski is taking videos of his brother and posting them online.
Yeah. See, I didn't get that, but if that's the case, that is strange.
I'm amazed.
See, Chris Gronkowski has become a full-time leech.
Well, remember when that story came out at the beginning of the season about Belichick texting Jimmy Garoppolo after each one of his games last season saying, hey, buddy, you're the best. Well, maybe that designation isn't as special as we thought it was, because in Peter King's Football Morning in America, Sean McVay revealed that he and Belichick chatted during last year's combine and have a texting relationship throughout the regular season this year.
Now.
As a matter of fact, he's cheating. McVay said, quote, "This is wild. This season, he has basically texted me after every one of our games. After we beat Minnesota in September, he texted, 'Man, you guys are really explosive, impressive, and fun to watch. Congratulations. Keep rolling.' And then a bunch of thumbs up emojis with a smiley face."
That would be great if that was true.
For him to even take the time to say congrats.
It would just look good. Belichick checking the baby dancing.
I know. Checking the emojis. Which one? Which one should I say?
He's got one of Urkel like going, "Ah, did I do that?"
One of those things that you can do on Twitch now, you can make like someone's head. It's just Ernie Adams' head.
Ernie Adams would shoot you.
And then a couple pink stripes.
You use Ernie Adams' head. You ain't walking out of there alive.
Just like, is there an emoji that just has pink stripes on it?
You know, he was originally a member of the White Stripes.
Ernie Adams? Well, I don't, even if he never played drums, he's probably better than their drummer. So
she brought something.
Meg White, not a good drummer.
Okay.
Not very good.
Says you.
Yeah. So Tom Brady, by the way, not one to cry over a Pro Bowl, as we found out this past week, because there was a pretty funny story came out in Sports Illustrated about Brandon Spikes, who didn't make the Pro Bowl one year. He said, quote, "I had one of my best years in my third season." He goes, "I've been playing off the charts, and I didn't get picked to go to the Pro Bowl. I was moping around, actually in tears, and a few guys were trying to lift me up like, 'It's going to be all right, man. We got to worry about what's in front of us.' He said, then the Pharaoh himself walks up to me." He said, "I used to call Brady the Pharaoh, and he hated that. Brady walks up to me and says, 'Hey, B,
get naked and put out a video.'"
Where can I get on that Snapchat account where you seem to be showing the world your job?
The Pharaoh said, "Hey, you're pretty gifted.
Yeah.
Why don't you get out there and put a nude video of yourself?"
Was
out.
That with like Doc Rivers' daughter?
Oh, I don't know
something?
About that.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, hang on. There was some sort of tie between.
Hang on.
Like Doc Rivers.
Stand by.
Like, was he dating Doc Rivers? For some reason, that pops in my head, but I'll have to look. He said, "Hey, B, you think I play this blank to go to Pro Bowls? Get it together. Get your head up. We're trying to win rings. That's what it is here." He said, "That's when I knew what kind of environment I was in and how blessed I was." He said, "First off, Brady only should be referred to as the Pharaoh from now on." So there you go.
He did a lot of good for Brandon Spikes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was. It was Doc Rivers' daughter.
Okay, that's what I thought.
They were nude.
Callie Rivers. Yep.
Okay.
So they were nude.
Yeah.
How did that get out?
I don't know. I gotta figure it out.
Everything gets out.
I hacked into the computer.
Hang on.
Brandon Spikes had nothing to be ashamed of.
Brandon Spikes. See, I didn't see the video,
didn't see a video. I saw a photo of it, and Brandon Spikes has got nothing to be. If I was Brandon Spikes, I'd leak that thing too.
I love how people just trusted a random app that they would keep your privacy safe. It's like the same way people just trust these cameras inside of your house that no one has access to it and no one can watch you inside your home.
Well, you can watch us on Twitch.
Well, that's different because...
Well, no, I'm saying. I'm just a good way to put it in there. You can get the the Twitch app on your phone.
That's right.
You can get all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Brandon Spikes. Maybe Brandon Spikes did it on purpose because nothing to be ashamed of. It made you feel bad for yourself. Said, Brandon, we're of the same species? We're so different physically. All right. By the way, this hour of the Toucher and Rich program, we are here at the Atlanta, Georgia Convention Center, whatever that was called.
Georgia
World Congress Center. And this hour is brought to you by AdCare 1-800-ALCOHOL. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rich are live on Radio Row on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah! What's up? What's up, New England?
This hour of Toucher and Rich is powered by Interstate Battery of Greater Boston with locations in Milford, Auburn, Walpole, and Waltham. Interstate has the batteries you need to keep your life powered up. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
One thing that they have at all the Super Bowl Media Rows is they have, I like it, they have the posters of all the Super Bowls that have ever taken place. And I've been to one Super Bowl, and it was Super Bowl 16. And now that's, there's about 5 million Super Bowls since then. So it's just a complete, shows your mortality. I was at Super Bowl 16 during an ice storm. At the Silverdome, my dad had to park in someone's lawn because they had to cancel. Or no, they didn't have to cancel. They couldn't use, like, half the parking lot. And he didn't get into the game until halfway through the second quarter.
I'm just imagining a picture of Freddie T every year of his life. Super Bowl, over each one of those.
I'd like to see that.
So he watched you grow and morph into the man you are today.
There's only one Super Bowl I'd go. There's only one team I'd go see in a play. Playing a Super Bowl, and I'll die long before that happens.
The Lions? You think?
No, I wouldn't go see the Lions.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'm kind of speaking out of my ass on this because the only bits and pieces I saw of this were on the plane yesterday. I'm flying here. But how about that Pro Bowl, huh? AFC beat the NFC 26-7. How the hell do you score 7 points in the Pro Bowl where nobody plays any defense? I know there
Jamal
was rain.
Jamal Adams played defense yesterday.
Okay.
Right, Fred? Jamal Adams.
I don't understand how on JetBlue you get audio. Like,
you can ask them for headsets that plug into your armrest.
Now you have to pay for them?
I don't know. Oh, because I've got some old school headphones that I can plug in there.
Yeah. I had the same thing. Yeah, yeah. I brought my own headphones on a plane.
Yeah, but I mean, what are you? I got Bluetooth. What am I, some kind of jabroni? around with some dumb cord?
All I know is that I believe Jalen Ramsey scored a touchdown.
Yes. This tells you offensive players play defense, defensive players played offense late in the game. Jalen Ramsey caught a touchdown pass.
All right, so Jamal Adams was out there hitting people?
Yeah, he actually had an interception and a sack.
You see, if I'm a defensive player,
a sack.
How great would it be just lighting people
in the
up?
Pro Bowl.
How awesome would it be just to light people up who aren't expected at the Pro Bowl?
He doesn't kid around.
No. He's exactly the guy you want on your team. I agree.
Yeah, he doesn't kid around.
I agree.
Like, he's gonna.
Jamal Adams is a keeper.
Yeah, I knew it. If you were to tell me one guy that took it too seriously, that would be the guy.
He got the defensive MVP award of the Pro Bowl. What was awesome was that I did see Jason Witten try to hand him the trophy, and Jason Witten picked it up and broke it in half.
Yeah, it didn't. I think that was more of a structural thing than it was anything Jason Witten did wrong.
By the way, Jamal Adams, the amount of articles that I saw this weekend about whether or not Pat Patriot has legal options to sue Jamal Adams for getting cracked. Like, I haven't heard any more of an update from that. All I know is that the Patriots came out with that press release, and it was scathing.
Yeah, they did not like that Jamal Adams hit Pat Patriot.
Not one bit. They did not enjoy that. But, yeah, so he making a name for himself. I do find it funny. Now, if that was a guy who was on a team that I liked, I think that was great. Just a defensive player lighting up these people at the pro. Everyone's, like, dancing around having fun, and just cracking them in the ribs.
That's what I always say.
It's like Terry Tate, office linebacker, just, like, nailing people left and right.
You get too happy with yourself. You're dancing around like an idiot in some dumb costume. Someone's going to come and hit you.
Oh, that would have been great. But honestly, 7 points. Yeah. Just what a poor product. Who's watching the Pro Bowl and truly getting into it?
By the way, if you, I was in an aisle seat, and if you were in the middle seat, because, okay, so the window seat to your left has an armrest.
Okay.
To their left. Then there's an armrest between the window seat and the middle seat. Then there's an armrest between the middle seat and the aisle seat, and then I have an armrest. The woman was very protective of the armrest next to my arm.
Yeah, sometimes you just get that. You got to get there first.
No, but
you got to claim the armrest first.
Yeah,
and I'm not being Seinfeld here, but I don't understand. Like, she was getting pretty feisty with me about the whole thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just literally all about who's got their elbow on that sumbitch first.
Who's
and
quicker?
You can't like box out.
Said something. She's like, "This is my armrest."
It's between us. How is it your armrest and not mine?
Yeah, and what do you do? Why do you have to put your weight on that thing?
She
does she have larger? Both arms up?
Of course.
Does she have both arms up or just a one?
I don't know what I mean. If she,
you're allowed one, left. You shouldn't be allowed both.
By the way, if I lean right, I'm getting hit with the beverage cart. And everything. Right.
I've been that guy before. Right. I've been that guy.
I found that very odd. She was very unpleasant. And then I asked. I said, "How did you get these headphones?" She said, "You have to ask for them." Oh. I said,
"She said, what did you want to happen?"
Her to say, "I got an extra pair."
Okay.
Her to say, "I would get up and say that she was going to ask for some."
Reached in her purse and she would have taken out headphones covered in cat fur.
Voila!
Yeah,
smelling like ointment.
That would have been great.
Because that's the kind of fun person you want to sit next to.
Yeah, it was a real joy. Okay, when we come back, Rich, what will we talk about?
All right, so there was a report that came out this weekend that the NFL and many people in the NFL none too happy with the assignment of the referees in this New Orleans game. As a matter of fact, there's a little bit of a conspiracy going around as to whether or not the refs were on the up and up who ended up botching that non-call that ended up sending the Rams to the Super Bowl. But however, there are a group of people in New Orleans who can't get the hell over what happened. We will explore that. And it's become comical to this point.
No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.